Okay. Hi everyone. I'm Sophie, and I'm going to be teaching the second to last Android section for CSE 76, and it will be on intents, menus, and shared preferences. So we're just going to be basically going over not more in depth, but a little bit more based on Dan's lecture today. So well, we're going to see how we can use intents to start a second activity. So to do that, we create two activities, and we have to remember to add the new activities that you create into the Android manifest file. This way, you won't get any force closes when your app is running and you go to that next activity. So you have to make sure you actually add this activity to the Android manifest. The next thing to do to switch activities would be to use this command on the second bullet point, intent, whatever variable you would like, equals new intent, the context, and the class being the parameters. And the context is the activity we're coming from. So in most cases, you can say intent equals new intent. This is referring to the actual activity that you're currently on, and the class would be like next activity dot class for whatever your next activity actually is. So here on the third bullet point is an actual example of how we can actually accomplish switching to a second activity. And to actually start the activity, we have that last command, start activity, with its parameter being the intent that you have defined previously. So we can also, besides switching activities using intents, we can also have the application call people, or they can do other actions such as maybe like sharing or emailing different things. So right here, instead, we have intent equals new intent, and that all is the same. But instead of having the actual package context and the next activity being the parameters, we have different actions and the data that we're going to be sending over. So one example is action underscore dial, and this will bring you to the actual dialer of the phone. It doesn't actually call the person yet, but you see the some data there. And so the second bullet point, intent equals new intent dot action underscore dial, URI dot parse tell, and that's some random number. When you actually execute this intent using the start activity command, then it will bring you to a new activity that is outside your application. It'll actually bring you to the phone application in your phone, and it will show up the dialer with the number 1 2 3 0 as the actual number in the phone. So any questions on that so far? Okay, we'll go to the next thing then. So the next thing we're going to be doing is seeing if we can get a result from an activity. So the command start activity for result, intent allows us to return data to the calling activity. So an example of this would be if you were accessing a phone's contacts, then you can have the user return the contact that they chose from their contact book using the start activity for result. And if you have an adequate intent in there, then you can actually return and get the result that they inputted in the other app. So onActivity result is also another method associated with this process. So it takes in a request code, a result code, and a data. So these request codes need to be unique. Maybe you can have some kind of constant located at the top of your Java file to determine this request code. And the result codes are usually result underscore okay, result underscore canceled. These are constants already inside the Android SDK, so you don't really need to worry about those. But for the request code, if you want to make something unique, you probably should add some constants at the beginning of your application or Java file to make sure that you have, that you separate those out. And the data is the intent that receives the additional data. So when you do this, then you're grabbing the data that you received from the other activity that you have. Okay. We can also, when we're in the second activity, when you called it right here with the start activity for result, the activity that receives this can set the result based on what you have or what you'd like to pass into. So that parameters are the result code, so that's also the result underscore okay, result underscore canceled, and the data is the data that it's going to be passing back to the original activity, and that's what you get with your on activity result. Finish allows for at the end, after you set the result and after you're done with that activity, you call finish, and this allows for the activity to be popped off the stack, and it sends control back to the previous activity. So when you press the back button, it won't go to that other activity that you were just at. It would instead just go back to the stack as it originally was before you sent your before you started the activity for the result. Okay, so next thing we're going to be going over is bundles. So these store key and value pairs via the put type method. So an example would be the put boolean method or the put char method. And you do the same thing for getting the actual objects using the get boolean or the get char methods. If you wanted to store anything other than these primitive data types, you would be able to do get serializable or get parcelable. So this would be pretty easy for serializables, at least, that if you had a separate object that you have and you implement the serializable interface, then you are allowed to actually pass these different objects to the next activity or you pass it to the next activity or intent. So an example of this would be, let's just say you have an RSS reader application and you wanted to see what list item that the user clicked on, so you can pass it to the news detail to populate the actual story. You can make your RSS item into a serializable class. So in order to do this, you just do the implement serializable on your object class. And on Eclipse, you will be prompted to add a generated serialized ID. And you just do that. You right-click on that yellow warning sign. And you get a unique serializable ID. And this allows you to actually put this object into a bundle so you can pass it to the next activity. So back to our RSS reader application example. So let's just say our RSS item is now serializable. We can just do bundle.putSerializable with the key and an object with that RSS item object in there. And you can get it in the same way, and you just cast that back to an RSS item when you actually get the object. And you can also get the size of how many things are in your bundle and also the key set. So any questions on that so far? Okay. So to actually use the bundles, you do intent.putExtras with your parameters being the actual bundle that you are putting inside. So that way you can associate a bundle with an intent. And the next thing, when you're actually in the other class, when you want to retrieve everything from your bundle, you can get the use this second bullet point command, get intent.getExtras, and this gets the bundle that you associated with an intent. And this last one on this slide is intent.putExtra, string key, comma, value. So this allows you to manually put the extra in there. It actually doesn't matter which data type you have when you do intent.putExtra. So when you get the extra, when you put it in that way, you do intent.getExtra, your parameter being your key in string form. Okay, so now we're just actually going to go over an example with this. So let's first actually look at the code. So let's go to activity sample. So right here, we are just creating a basic activity. So right here, we are doing the creation of the activity. So basically what you've seen in basic Hello World programs and all other applications that you've gone through in this class. And this go to next activity, we're actually going to go through two kinds of examples in this one application. So the first one is going to the next activity. So this is called based on the Android on click button that I've set in main.xml. So it's actually a button, and you do Android colon on click equals in quotes go to next activity. So as you can see here, this line right here allows for when the button is clicked, it will actually execute this go to next activity function. So right here, we're going to change to a different activity, and we're going to use bundles to store a name that you inputted in this edit text field, and we're going to get the text from the edit text field here, and we are going to put this string into the bundle with its key being the name and its value being this name variable here, and we put the extras, we wrap that all up into a bundle and pass it on to the intent and associate it with that. And the last thing, we are actually starting the activity with this intent, and the bundle will be passed along with it. So we can go on to the next activity.java code. And we see here that there's going to be a text view in this view, r.layout.next. And we're retrieving the bundle by using the getIntent.getExtras command. And right here is just a little check to make sure we're not getting any kinds of null pointer exceptions. So basically contains key would look inside the bundle to see if there is a key value pair with that key in it already. And so we're basically checking. And if it does contain that key, then we can set the text of the text view to be hello, comma, and the name. Otherwise, we can set this text as error, no name is inputted. However, that line may not be executed because right here, if the edit text has nothing in there, it'll probably just give you an empty string. So it will always be putting a string in there. That's just in case nothing is happening and you actually did not put this line in there. Okay, so I guess now we can just go look at the phone application. Let me unlock it for a sec. Okay, and we go into our activity sample function. So right here, you see that there's an enter name edit text field, and we have a go to next activity button. So let's enter some name in here. And we go to the next activity. And as you can see here, it has hello, comma, Sophie. So this way we saw that the variable was passed between two activities. And we can do this by using bundles. Any questions with that so far? Okay. So I guess we'll go on to the next example within our application. So that is using the other way of using intents, but not going to a separate class, but actually using another app's activity. So right here we have intent equals new intent dot action underscore dial. So this is getting the dialer. And the intent.setData, URI.parse, and this number Make sure whenever you have like a number, you make sure you have this tell header. Otherwise, it'll give you a lot of different kinds of errors. And then we start the activity with the intent. So this is just one way you can actually do the execute the dialer. The other way is using what I showed in the slides, which is new intent.action_dial with the other parameter, the second parameter, being this this data that you parsed right here. So you can actually make it into comma, and we do this. This command will do the same thing as what is in what was there previously. Any questions with that so far? Okay, so let's just actually look at the application in action, and we can go from there. So we go back. So we have the call me button, which executes the call number method. And as you can see here, it launched the dialer with the telephone number in the URI.parse. And basically, we started this dialer activity with the intent, with the data in the command. Okay. All right. So since we have no questions, we're just going to go over to look at menus now. All right. Okay. So menus are when you actually press the menu button and you get a list of things that show up. So these are actually described in XML, stored in the resources/menu folder. So this isn't an automatically created folder within Eclipse. So when you actually create this folder, you have to right-click on the resources folder and create a new folder called menu. And so when you have the XML, you create it as you would, and you have a menu as the root element, and inside your children elements will be different items. And we can go over an example later in this section. And these are accessed like other resources. So when you set the content view, you see how you have to do r.layout.main or some other layout file. We can do it by r.menu. And then the file name is right there. Okay, so to actually create an options menu, we have to use the command onCreateOptionsMenu, menu being its parameters. So this is actually going to be called. You don't actually explicitly call this. This is something within the actual OS itself. So we have onCreateOptionsMenu, and as you can see there, the user presses the menu button on the device, and that's how this is created. And the second command would be onCreateContextMenu, menu, comma, with all these parameters there. So this is when a user holds down a view, either by right-clicking it, if you have some kind of keyboard phone, or if you long press something. So an example of this would be in the Gmail Android app, where you long press a message and a list of things come out. Somewhere in there you have the delete. The next thing is, with that, is you need to register for this context menu, and you need to write some lines of code for that part. Okay, so now we just created the menus, and we actually need to create the items within these menus. So we have the on options item selected menu, with the menu item being its parameter, and we also have the on context item selected being that for the adjacent context menu selection. And that's as said by the function name, this is called when a user selects an option from a context menu. And the last thing corresponding to that is the item.getItemID. So this allows you to get the ID of the item that you have in there. And this is the ID is written when you write the menu XML code. Okay. So within menus, you can also have submenus. So this is when you click on an item, you can create another menu tag in there within an item, and this allows for a submenu to happen. So when an item is selected that has like menus inside this item, then you can open up a submenu, and it looks right on the screen. It's not going to be like how the other menu was shown. And yeah, so we can look over an example right now. Okay. So we're going to go into menu sample project source net right here. So right here we are creating the view for it right here. So let's just go look at what we have as our view. So we're creating a sort of blog sharing application, a very simple one. So as you can see here, this might be a little bit small, but there's a title right here where my mouse is. So you input the title here, and then you enter the post text in this other edit text field. Okay, so as you can see, we have this on create options menu. So this is going to be called when you click on the menu button. And this menu inflator is within Android, and this allows you to inflate a menu XML file. And our menu is called r.menu.menu, and we are inflating this XML file into the menu that is populated. And we're just returning, since this is a very basic menu, we're just returning the superclass method of this menu with our items populated in it. So we're going to go to the menu XML file. And as you can see here, we have an ID. So if we call item.getID, it will return this r.id.menu_share. And we are our title of our menu item is share. And we're using this, since we're using a share, and this is a very common task within Android, we're going to use the drawable or the icon already within the Android OS. So this is the ic_menu_share. And this is just a circle with two arrows coming out of it. So let's just go back to our actual source code here. So when we actually click on the shared menu item, we are going to execute this task. So we are going to grab the two edit text fields for the title and the entry post, and we are going to execute an item or execute an action based on the item menu touched. So since we only have one item, we actually just only need to do this part, but we're just going to pretend that we have multiple items in there, and we use this switch statement to get the item clicked based on the ID, and we're going to create a new intent. So this new intent, intent.action_send, is also it's another way for you to access another app's activities. So this action_send will be, it will have like Gmail, your documents, or your Google Reader. Every single like social media application will be on this menu already populated. So you don't really need to worry about like APIs of like Twitter and Facebook in that case when you have this intent.action_send. So we're setting the type of our data to be plain text, and we are putting the extras of intent.extra_subject. So this is already within the Android OS, so you don't really need to worry about that. And we know this by the capital letter of the intent, so that's the intent class. And we're placing the title.getText_to_string in the subject line, and the intent.putExtra with extra_text with that entry's whatever you put into the entry edit text field. And we are going to start this activity. We create a chooser. So this is the actual chooser with the Gmail and everything in there. And Well, actually, let's just see this in action so you know what I'm talking about. So let's go to our document camera. And let's go to our menu sample. So right here, as you can see, this looks exactly like our GUI that we had in Eclipse with our title, with our edit text, and our entry post with our edit text in there. So let's just say I want to write that I created this blog post with my app. So cool app. I created a post. Okay, so now since I finished creating my post, I'm going to click the menu button, which is actually down here. And as you can see, there's the share menu that we actually created in our code with the onCreate options menu and our menu.xml. And let's just click it, and this will execute our onOptionsItemSelected method. And this is when we have the create chooser with our intent being the action underscore send. You will automatically get this menu with everything that you can, every single app that you can share things with. So let's just pretend that we're going to share this by email. So as you can see here, our subject is cool app, and our subject is I created a post. Okay, so any questions with that process so far? Yep.
Here, are these menus and submenus, are they all within the scope of a single activity?
So when you go back to here, it's just like our menu is within the activity, but when you go outside into like Gmail or another thing that you shared it with, it's just like sort of like a start activity for a result. And when you go back, it will just do the finish command and pop that activity off the stack when you're done with it.
That's actually what I was curious about. If you were in a submenu menu under menu and you launched another activity.
Oh, you mean this one, right?
Yeah, let's say that launched another activity. And then if you actually wanted to go back and actually work your way back through the stack that way. Or...
Okay, so the question was, can you work your way back into the stack after you press something in this item menu? And the answer is that you can. So let's just say, actually, this cannot be uploaded as a Google document. So some things, this is the list of things that you can share. But there's also, just say, I think the only thing configured on this phone is Gmail. So I think when you send it, I'll just send it to myself. Okay, so it actually just goes back to the actual activity that you were on before. So it just pops off that activity that you started with the submenu on there.
So we don't actually have to do an explicit...
You don't have to do an explicit, like, coming back to the application command. It'll just be there already and allow you to just go back to playing with the app that you were working on before.
So are they, like, the Gmail app, whenever they have
finished... Yeah, it just takes it off. You don't go back to your inbox or anything. Okay. Any other questions on that? Okay. So let's just go back to our submenu. Or actually, we're going to start with shared preferences now. Okay. So this is just a lightweight key value pair storage, so similar to bundles. And this is just another way for databasing. So you'll actually be learning more about SQLite next week, but this is a very lightweight version of how you can store data within your phone after or in between usages. So this is just a general framework that allows you to save and retrieve persistent key value pairs of primitive data types. So this is ints, characters, booleans, stuff like that. And you can't really store objects in here. Yeah, and you can allow this to persist amongst user sessions, like Dan said earlier in lecture today. So to get your shared preferences, you just call the command get shared preferences. You can only use this if you need multiple preferences files identified by name. So within that get shared preferences function, your parameter would actually be some kind of file name or, it will be a file name that you associated with it in another activity or previously. And get preferences is a method that you use when you only have one preferences activity. So this is only for like simple apps, or maybe if you have like some kinds of settings in there and you only need settings for your whole app, then you can just use the get preferences. So this way you don't have to really care about preferences files and everything like that. Okay, so to write to your shared preferences, you need to get some kind of shared preferences.editor object. This will allow you to actually edit the shared preferences. So to do this, you call the edit method, and you can add values with the methods put with the type. So this is very similar to bundles, where we saw that you can put string and put character, but you actually put this within your shared preferences.editor object instead. And you have to make sure that when you edit your shared preferences that you commit them. Otherwise, these will be lost and you'll be like wondering why your shared preferences aren't actually there. Okay. So the last thing would be to read from these shared preferences. So you can use these shared preferences methods similar to the putting methods. So you use get boolean or get character to grab these values from your preferences. So as you can see there, an example would be to get boolean with your key and default value already in there. So let's actually just go through an example. And we're going to do our shared prefs sample here. So here we have two edit text fields, two text view fields, and two buttons. And we're just setting up the view here. We're setting up some on-click listeners based on our activity. And we're going to, whenever these buttons are clicked, we're going to save these preferences, and we're also going to load them as well. And same thing for the next button. And right here, we are writing our save preferences and load preferences functions. So these are right here. We have shared preferences. We're getting the preferences. And as you heard from Dan earlier, this mode_private means that these preferences cannot be accessed by other applications. So we have shared preferences.editor. So we're grabbing a shared preferences editor object right here. So this allows us to edit the shared preferences that we had before in the previous line. And we're just putting a string in there and with its key and value as the parameters of the save preferences function. And we are committing those preferences to memory or to the phone. And the second function is load preferences. So this is grabbing the preferences that we had in our preferences file. And we are grabbing the preferences, and we are getting the strings that are here based on the different keys that we have. And we are setting the text of the text views that we have there. So I'll just show you what the view looks like before we actually execute the application on the phone. So right here, we have some random text view. We have saved mem1. And save mem2. So when we actually have preferences in there, you'll see the different strings that you have saved into memory by typing into these two edit text fields and saving them by pressing these buttons. So let's actually go into the application on the phone and see how this works. And we can go over questions if you have them. Okay, so this is the same view as you saw earlier. So let's say we have hi and world are things that I use to test this application before section. So that's why they are there. So let's just say hello, save mem. So as you can see there, it saved the preferences and loaded them again, like it said in my button on Click Listener. And the second one, let's just actually put it there. We can do section as our second memory. As you can see here, we have hello and section as our two saved memory slots. So let's actually force close the application. Here with applications, and we manage our applications here. So shared pref sample, we are going to force stop. Okay. So the only way you can get rid of the data in this application or from your shared preferences is to actually press this clear data button right here. That clears everything, clears all your shared preferences and everything from your databases. So let's just go back to our app of shared pref sample. Since we only force stopped it, our information should still be there, and it is. So as you can see here, we have hello and section still saved within our shared preferences, and we grabbed them when we started our application. Okay, any questions on that or about the section in general?
Yep. And on the, are shared preferences, are they restricted to an activity class?
So the question was, are the shared preferences restricted to that particular activity class? So you can actually, I think your question, if I'm interpreting it correctly, is you can actually share these shared preferences between two activities or two or more activities, and all within the same application when you have the mode underscore private. But other than that, you might be able to, if your like applications are interconnected, and you knew exactly that the user had installed both these applications for sure, then you can access each other's shared preferences. But if not, then you can only share these shared preferences within one application.
No, I was actually thinking a little simpler. You can just stick it in a utility class that doesn't extend anything.
Oh, in an utility class that, okay. I think the answer to that, like let's just say you put it in some kind of like random class that's not an activity.
Yeah.
I think you can actually retrieve them, and you can save them when you're actually executing the methods. But
I. You know what I mean by just creating a utility class, it's not
an activity. Yeah, not an activity. So like when you're like running some kind of background data class, you mean, or like
so
something
you can
even simpler.
Yeah,
I think you can actually grab that stuff, not in an actual activity setting.
Okay, but you can create shared preferences.
Yeah, you can create shared preferences. Yeah, I've done that before actually. So.
Okay, just a little last question: the default value is that what's returned when you can't find the key?
Yeah. So right here, so we have mem1 and mem2. So our default value here when we get the string is actually the empty string. So usually we can actually set any different kind of default value. Let's just say if you have nothing, you don't have those values set, then you can put like, oh, you didn't set these values here as your string. But whenever you have this get method, you have to make sure that you have the key here. And the second parameter has to be your default value.
What do you mean, so it's been set
at least? So let's just say that we did not execute this save preferences method beforehand, and we were just grabbing the shared preferences. We just only loaded the preferences. We didn't save it ever before in this application's lifecycle from when you installed it. So basically, when you have, you won't actually set this default value as your actual shared preferences value in your shared preferences file, but only when you're getting the actual value here, and you don't have an actual value associated with this particular key in your shared preference file, will it actually populate the populate this variable with this default value? Does that answer your question? Okay. All right. So that's all I have prepared for today, but you'll be learning about SQLite next week. So see you next week.